Our guest today received quite a compliment from legendary comic Joan Rivers. He's the best comic in his price range. But Joan Rivers might have given even higher praise for his finesse, not as a comic or an actor, but as a waiter. Brad Zimmerman worked as a waiter for 29 years, much longer than he expected he would. But those years waiting tables have become fodder for his hit one-man show, My Son the Waiter, a Jewish tragedy. He's performing it at Seven Stages through June and joins me now in studio. Brad, welcome.
Thank you. And let me just say, when you said 29 years, just to clarify, it went by so quickly.
I'll bet.
Just so quickly, like, you know, that. Anyway, it's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for having me.
A delight.
Yes.
So, Joan Rivers was the first famous comic to notice you?
Well, what happened was, in comedy, you get a tape. And you work years to get a tape, and you send it out, and eventually, if you get a good tape, people see it, and she saw it. She approved me, and it started an 8-year relationship, and a real joy. She was amazing, you know. One of her favorite jokes was, I'm so old, when I go to my high school reunion, I dance with urns. I love her.
Oh, and so smart.
You know, we talked a lot, and she was a huge reader and would go to theater every single night. Every single night. She was a thirst for culture, a great influence and inspiration to me.
I loved her in Muppets Take Manhattan.
Well, I didn't see that, but now that you mention it, it's on my bucket list.
I hope you'll watch it, because there's a scene with Joan Rivers and Miss Piggy at a makeup counter in Bergdorf Goodman.
Oh, really?
It's worth checking
well,
out.
Well, Bergdorf Goodman seems like a great fit for Joan.
And Miss Piggy.
Oh, yes.
You moved to New York to pursue acting.
Yes.
When did you discover comedy and decide that's what you wanted to pursue?
Well, let me clarify something. I moved to New York to pursue a career as an actor, but I didn't pursue it. Because, not really, because I didn't believe in my product. That was the bottom line. I was paralyzed. That's why I waited tables for 29 years. It's not like I went out there and, you know, pounded the pavement. My father once said to me, he goes, you know, son, I read all these articles about actors banging on doors. You seem reluctant to do that. That's an understatement. I mean, I was really, you know, weighed down. So that's all I did was study acting and wait tables. And eventually, I was sent to the right medical, I got some medical help, a psychiatrist, and 4 years later took a class in stand-up comedy. And that was when I began slowly to go out into the world and understand that failure is essential to everything. Making adjustments and to the product, always trying to get better, and it just grew on me. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? It wasn't like, oh, I want to be a comic. Because I don't think of myself that way. I think of myself as an actor who does comedy. Because my writing is, in other words, a comic is one-liners.
Yes.
You know, 90-year-old woman says to her husband, honey, come upstairs and make love. He says, I can't do both. That's comedy, okay? My whole thing is I tell a story that has a payoff. But so it's really storytelling. But I can work in the comedy world, which I have done, but I didn't do the club circuit. So let's just say, what I love doing is writing my own material, performing it, and being my own boss. And having sold the show, My Son, the Waiter, Jewish Tragedy, after 8 years, I mean, I didn't write till I was 33. I wrote a play when I was 33, and that's late. So it wasn't like I was born to write, but I had something.
Sounds like you had a good shrink.
Sublime. You know, he once said, relationships are about finding the right fit. Right on the money.
So here you are. My Son the Waiter.
Yes.
Your one-man show.
Yes.
Is an exploration into the lack of pursuit.
Yes.
Existential in its way. First, please tell us the tragedy of being a waiter from your mother's perspective.
Oh. you know, you have to understand something. I mean, the great joke is, you know, there's a big controversy on the Jewish view of when life begins in Jewish tradition. The fetus is not considered viable till after it graduates from medical school. So the bottom line, one of the first jokes I ever wrote was, and I don't use it because it's not funny, but it's accurate. Somebody once said, if you're happy, you're successful. My mother thinks success is determined by your income. Either way, I'm unsuccessful. Okay, so the reality is that the Jewish mother, it's like, you know, she can say to you, as long as you're happy, that's all I care about. If you look in the Jewish mother to English dictionary, mm-hmm. it means as long as you're rich, I'm happy.
Oh.
Absolutely, there's a truth to that. In other words, you know, if I said to my mother tomorrow, I'm happy,
mm-hmm.
I'm happy. And she was completely honest. She would say, you know, maybe that's not all I care about. The reality is, you know, first of all, she was like my agent for, you know, while I was in pursuit, she would call her aunt who knew somebody. She called a big mother, a big producer. Nothing ever happened because these people deal with huge stars. But nonetheless, remember the trajectory of going from, may I say something? I don't pry. I don't know not to pry. I'm just curious. How much longer do you think that you're going to give the acting? And do you know how many times we had that conversation?
Tell me.
I can't, because I'd have to tabulate it. At any rate, so it goes from there, and now Gavelling, which is, you know, so filled with pride that... she said to me once, and this is true, she said, I don't know anybody who could do what you did.
Aww.
And that's a compliment. First of all, on one hand, I don't know anybody who would want to. And I mean that, I'm not taking anything away from me. What I do is essentially devoting my life to mastering something over a paycheck. It turned out that way. It takes a little bit of courage because most people opt for security and institutional, you know, the paycheck and the family and this and that. I opted for a solitary existence and it came from my sports. I was a great athlete, very competitive. And so everything began.
What was your sport?
Everything. But sports was fun for me. In other words, if somebody said just play baseball, you know, that would have been punishment. I wanted to play everything and just have fun. Now it's different because my career, my life, it's life and death. In other words, this is my life. This is, I have to make an income. So it became more of the drive really manifested. It started to percolate and it's in my gut now. So I'm more driven now than I've ever been. It's very purposeful. That's what it really is all about, I think, life is. If you have that meaning in it, a drive, there's a book called Grit in which they talk about drive being the most important thing. You have that drive, that's three quarters of the battle, and I have it in spades.
Well, you worked as a waiter for 29 years.
Yes.
And you were certainly experienced, but would you say you were a good waiter?
No, I would say I was a very charming waiter.
Uh-huh.
I remember one restaurant, highbrow, that just for a few minutes I worked there. They wanted me to read two books on wine. Let me ask you, in terms of priorities, researching grape variety and all sorts of things is very, very, very low on my list of priorities. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do.
So the bottom line is, you know, I know two things about wine. We have it or we don't. Do you know what I'm saying? That's the bottom
red
line.
Red or it's white.
Absolutely. I worked in a place where their signature dish was mac and cheese. I worked there 15 years. If you're a customer and you said, after 15 years, if you said, tell me the cheeses that are in the mac and cheese, I would have to guess. And I'm saying that sincerely. It was all about, you know, just, I was a great waiter because people loved me.
Your restaurant goers were your audience.
And not only, that's exactly right. Not only that, I became friends and, you know, I would schmooze and it was, you know, I'm a people person. I love being alone, but that was the strength. And if you said, do you miss anything? No, except for, you know, I love people. So, you know, but it was, my life essentially boiled down to just waiting tables and eventually doing a little drinking because I had no purpose, and eventually stopped doing that. And I'm as healthy as I've ever been.
I'm speaking with Brad Zimmerman. He's in town with his one-man hit show, My Son the Waiter, A Jewish Tragedy. That's being performed at Seven Stages through June 18th, every Thursday through Sunday. So, Brad.
Yes.
My Son the Waiter shows many of the unfortunate encounters you face daily as a waiter. Mm-hmm. It's a job where you see some of the darkest side of humanity. People are grumpy, they're hungry, they have little regard for you. Why do you think that waiter-customer dynamic is so fraught?
First of all, you know, the world has changed. Remember when I was growing up, this was the order. Give me a burger, a medium rare, French fries, and a Coke. Oh, that order is extinct. This is, you know, it's like brunch was the worst, you know. I would like an egg white omelet with spinach, mushrooms, peppers, just a little bit of mozzarella cheese, not too much. I don't want potatoes. I would love a salad instead. Just a little oil and vinegar on the side, please. No onions on the salad. Now, I know the omelet normally comes with sourdough toast. I prefer seven grain, no butter, completely dry. To drink, I know I want a glass of water, no ice. And when you get a chance, I would love a peppermint tea. Oh, one more thing. Is it possible to get the omelet with two egg whites and one yolk? They always do that for me. A straw for the water, and that should do it. Now, let me ask you something. You're standing there taking this order, listening to this high maintenance. It's almost, I can't even tell you what goes on in your mind.
Did you ever lose it with
yes.
one of the?
Well, you get a little. I've had people say to me, you know, you should smile more, or what could be so bad, and I wouldn't have time to tell them. You know what I'm saying? I am too busy to say, sit down. Sit
down. Were
they
already seated?
Sometimes. I had one customer once who he was like this. He was waving me down, literally as he's being led to the table. And this is a true story. So I walked over. You know, he says, I'm in a hurry. I said, so go.
That's so New York.
Yes, so New York.
Love it.
And he tipped me really well.
Oh, you see? Oh, I remember. I think the largest tip my husband and I ever left for a New York waiter was, this was many years ago on the Lower East Side at Ratner's. It was a dairy restaurant.
You are Jewish. I didn't know that.
Well, this man, first of all, was about 89. And
you mean the waiter?
The waiter. He dared you to tip him. My husband. He brought
the
main course. My husband said, "May I have some more coffee?" He hit my husband on the shoulder. My husband's a big guy. He said, "You couldn't ask me before. It's a block up, a block back to get it." So I mean, who? This is so endearing. These were the days of hello. My name is Chris. I'm a Scorpio, you know, I'll be your waiter.
Let me tell you something. When I want to be me.
Yeah.
So the idea of working in a high end where you go, good evening, my name is Brad, I'll be your waiter. May I start you off with some water? Would you like bottled water? Would you like this? Would you like that? No. I would come up to the table. My name is Brad. Let me tell you about a specials. Yeah. How you doing? Nice to see me. And people... my tip just went up because they're going, how refreshing that somebody is not going, you know, with that posture.
Yes.
And so
see, on the radio, people can't see that.
Yes, they can. I'm that gifted. By the way, I will tell you one thing.
What?
I was fired from some fancy restaurant. She called me over and said, you know, your per customer check average is not high enough. And they fired me. And the bottom line, and this was my motto, I didn't push food on anybody. I didn't care what you ate, how much, how little.
I think a good server doesn't.
I just wanted to go home. Uh-huh. You understand what I'm saying?
Ah.
Okay.
In just the couple minutes we have left, how does your mom feel now? You're successful.
First of all, her favorite line, not related to me, is I said, how you feeling? Because I, you know, it's in, Brad, I have a 50-year-old mind and an 87-year-old body.
Oh.
Oh, she has a little shtick. Okay, but, you know, I think she's, the fact that I'm able to be generous with people, have some, a cushion, a financial cushion. I was broke for many years. I didn't have a dime. The fact that I've taken after her in terms of giving and that people call her, are you Mrs. Zimmerman? I saw your son at the Kravis Center for the Arts.
Yes.
He is fabulous. Why doesn't he have his own show? And my mother calls me, Brad, I just ran into a lady. I've never met her before. I was at the hairdresser. And all she could do, she says, I saw this guy. Are you related to Brad Zimmerman?
There you go. No longer a tragedy. It's been so much fun. Can't wait for my rise to the middle.
When you said it's been so much fun, are you who are you speaking for?
Myself. And I know.
Well,
many
can I
listeners.
Be honest how I felt about the experience?
Yes.
I'm glad I did it.
Am I a funny man? Brad Zimmerman's one-man show is My Son the Waiter, a Jewish Tragedy. He's performing it at Seven Stages through June 18th, every Thursday through Sunday. Thanks so much.
It's been a joy. You're great. You're a great interviewer, and that's a pleasure. I love when people ask questions that make me think a little bit.
Thank yes. You. Thank you, Brad. He took one look at her and ran away. Now she's gonna die of thirst unless I